Well, good evening to all of you. Tonight we're going to finish up our series on music. So this is the third of three parts. We have looked at rock and roll. Pastor Armacost talked about that. And then last week, Brother Brock dealt with Southern Gospel and country music. And so tonight, I'm going to try to deal with some CCM, contemporary Christian music, and then wrap up with some, hopefully some principles that can be a help to us. So let's start by turning to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, as I read through this, this is a prediction of end times and things that will be true. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, as I read through this, try to think back to Pastor Armacost's lesson on rock and roll and how fulfilling of the flesh that was designed to be. And so this rock and roll that came on the scene in the 50s and really, really took hold in our country. Well, this is a description of that. There's other things, there's other ways that these truths are manifested, but rock and roll is certainly one of them. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Do you remember the rebellion? The wedge that it put between young people and parents. Unthankful, unholy. Wicked things were made normal. There was desensitized to things that were wrong. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, lack of self-restraint, fierce despisers of those that are good. And I think of Cain and Abel. We're going to talk about Cain some tonight. But Cain had a false worship system, and he was furious at Abel, who had a worship system that God was pleased with. So furious that he killed him. And you say, well, where does worship system come into this? Let me keep going. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And then verse 5, having a form of godliness. All right, so I think this takes rock and roll and then brings it down and says, oh my, CCM. A form of godliness that mixes the sound of the world with lyrics that are supposed to come from God's Word. A form of godliness. You'd say, well, all that sounds like they wouldn't even be interested in pretending to be godly. Oh no, it's big business to pretend to be godly. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Would you please pray with me as we look at this topic? Lord, I ask for your help tonight. There's 1,001 thoughts running through my mind, and I pray that you'd help me to lay them out with some semblance of organization, Lord, and be a help to my church family. Lord, I care about them, and I know they care about me. Lord, we pray for one another. We send out that prayer sheet, Lord, and we see each other's needs. And Lord, this is one of the needs of my church family, to be more careful in this area of music. And I need to as well. Help us, Lord, as a church, to be more careful and to be more sensitive to what you want in our life. I ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. All right. When I was my first year, I came here as a freshman, as most people do. After my first year of college, I went home and worked at Eagle Hardware. It was like a Lowe's. So I worked there midnight, stocking shelves. And there were two night managers, different nights. There would be one night manager, and he would play his music over the sound system at nighttime while we stocked the shelves. His music of choice was heavy metal. So I would be there listening to heavy metal all night as I put things on the shelf. And, of course, that was just grating. Ugh, you know, it's kind of spooky to me. I think the demons are running loose in there. The other night manager, he preferred country and western. And boy, that wasn't as grating to me. I found that without even trying, pretty soon, I knew what the lyrics were. And I looked forward to the rhythms and the way the music moved. And boy, I got that stuff down so easily. Brother Schrock on Sunday morning, he was talking about eating healthy food so much that after a while he developed a taste for even beets. Now, there are some things we eat that you don't have to develop a taste for, are there? Isn't there? Young people don't have to, candy, what's candy? Maybe after a few weeks I'll develop a taste for it. No, they live for it. But healthy things, we have to develop an appetite for those things, develop a taste for those things. Country and Western, boy, I was just sitting there stocking shelves and I had a taste for it. There was no time that eventually I'm just like, ooh, there's something pleasing about this. It's easy. So I'm talking to Alec and I brought him over. We were talking about music some, and I was saying, boy, Alec, I remember being a kid and going to sporting events, and at sports, you know, they jam the sounds, you know, the "We Will Rock You," you know, the and you know, you're just like, "We will," you know, and you're like, "Whoa, what?" And it's just loud. And you know, there's something about messing, you know, 1, 2, 3 is supposed to be 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, but they mess with it and 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And I'm telling Alec, I mean, "We will rock you," you know, "Mud on your face, big disgrace, blowing your brains all over the place," you know. And he's like, "Dad, is that what the word said?" "I don't know. I didn't care." And of course, I'm a good church kid, and I'm like, "Oh no. Well, you know, I'm stuck. I'm going to have to endure this." And my flesh was stoked. It felt good. All right. And I want my son to realize that I have a flesh. I don't want him to think that, "Son, I've never faced temptation." "Do you? Come on, come clean. Come clean." No, I want my son to know that I face temptation and in this area of music. And it's a matter of self-denial. I'm still having to deny myself. Because there's tunes, there's rhythms, there's things that grab a hold of you. And it doesn't take an acquired taste like healthy things. It's easy like the unhealthy things. I remember Pastor Dameron took us. I was on his basketball team. He was my basketball coach. And we went to Moody. Tim, I don't know if you were there. We went to Moody Bible. And they had some pre-game warm-up music. And boy, that stoked the flesh. You know, I'm jumping higher and running faster. And I'm like, "Coach, I brought you the rim." You know, I went up for a layup and ripped it off the backboard. It feels, I mean, there's something to that. You're going to go work out and don't go to YouTube and punch in workout music. Because it's not going to be good. But it'll stoke the flesh. It'll get you going. So tonight I want to talk about CCM music. And by the way, before we go into it, I want to say that not all modern music is bad. All right? We're not going to talk about just modern music. Everything new is wrong. That's not what we're talking about. And I'm not going to say all the CCM musicians are awful people. I'm not going to say that. I'm sure there's a lot of sincerity floating around out there. But I want to warn you against a system that is not God-honoring. And I want to help you as my church family. So not all music is bad. I just want to point out that bad music is bad. All right. Now, the lie of the CCM musician is that you have to deny your flesh. Huh? That's interesting. I mean, I thought God gave you your flesh, and I thought God gave you some cravings. I don't know. It seems like you shouldn't have to deny it. If God gave you the flesh, it seemed like there was some heresies back in the olden days where people, material is bad, flesh bad, spirit good, anything here is bad, and it just seems like that's a heresy from long ago. I think you need to give yourself over to what the flesh craves sometimes. After all, God gave it to you. And the truth is that God did give us our flesh, and He did build cravings into our flesh. But He gives us the proper way to satisfy every one of those cravings. Don't let the world tell you that God is unaware of our cravings. He gave us our body, and He gave us our cravings, and He gave us the perfect way to satisfy each of those things in marriage, in right types of music, And so that's a half lie there, where it talks about we have to beware of this idea of, come on, God gave you your flesh, let yourself satisfy it. So up here we see contemporary Christian music, the devil's chum. So I mean that, and it is his friend, chum. Like, hey, this is my chum. But chum, I'm using that as a fishing term. I was talking to Mr. Reinhardt about that yesterday. Chum is when a fisherman goes and he has a little bucket full of cut up pieces of meat and cut up pieces of fish that he dumps into the water to get a school of fish underneath him so that he can cast out his line and catch bigger fish so he can kill them. All right. And so CCM is the devil's chum. All right. The world is out there, and the devil comes to the Christian, and the world is the lair for the sinner, and it's the lure for the saint, and it's a powerful one. And this CCM is the devil taking that bucket and dumping it out to attract believers, and he's doing it. He's doing it very well. Why? So he can capture them and kill them. So the definition that we're going to use tonight comes from this book, Music and Morals, Dispelling the Myth that Music is Amoral. CCM evolved from Jesus' music in Southern Gospel. It's any form of Christian music that imitates immoral secular styles of jazz, rap, rock, or techno music, and its many derivatives. The term also includes any contemporary praise and worship music that imitates soft rock music or contains other sensual music or vocal techniques. And I'm going to ask you, please make some decisions about this. We're not doing this to show off our, you know, PowerPoint expertise. And you're like, good, because I haven't noticed much. All right. We're doing this so that we can make decisions. And can I tell you, I already have. I remember these men were giving their lessons, I thought to myself, boy, my kids used to be in the back and maybe the radio would be playing and some beady song would come on and my daughter would say, that's not good, is it, Dad? That's bad music. And I would think, how does she know? How does she know? And then the next thought was, what have I done to guard that sensitivity? And parents, we got to do it, because we break down, we start to, it's not that bad. And then our kids, what we do in moderation, our kids will do in excess. So I just thinking about like different trick shot videos, you know, we love to go to YouTube and look up trick shot videos and they're family friendly, but there's always a rock song on there. And I got to thinking, boy, we would kind of turn that down. That's not good. Listen to the rock soft. And then over time, you know, you're not turning it down as much as we used to. And then sometimes we're not turning it down at all. And I talked to my family, I was wrong. We're going to deal with that. I want to make sure that we're developing that sensitivity. This immorality that the devil is pouring into our ears, I want to stop it as much as I can. So we know that in Exodus chapter 32, Moses and Joshua went on top of Sinai, and while they're away, the Egyptian worship came out. There was Israel. Israel had Egypt in their hearts. And Moses was gone. The leader was gone. He was on top of Sinai. And so when the leader was gone, the Egypt that was in their hearts came out. And they were unclothing. And they were jumping around, and the music sounded like noise, and it sounded like war. And can I just tell you, our pastor isn't here to keep Egypt hidden in our hearts. He's here to help us get it out. All right? And ask yourself, if the people that are keeping, if the people, the spiritual authority in my life wasn't there suddenly, what's in my heart right now that... are they the only ones keeping it in check? Well, I'm going to ask you to put some things in place so that you're keeping it in check. So I'd like you to kind of pray with me. We already prayed, but It really is a matter of the heart. Not my will, but thine be done. So tonight, and really every time, it's going to be a matter of, Lord, show me what you want. And then can I be real honest with you? There's a part of me that's not going to be real interested with what you want. But Lord, I'm confessing that and I'm asking you for help. I want to be interested in what you want. And love is the answer to that, isn't it? You men that say, the wife might say, hey, would you take me shopping? And you go, oh, come on, it'd be fun. Just you and me going, maybe we'll grab a bite. And you go, but then it's like, would you go with me? I'd really enjoy the time with you. And you say, well, yeah, I'll do that because I love you. And we do those things. And love makes things we wouldn't normally be interested in interesting. And so when God, when we say, oh, God, show me what you want. Can I warn you? He will. You ask God to show you what he wants. He will. Our problem is it stops there often because like, oh, I wasn't interested in that. But let's take it that next step and say, and then, Lord, help me to love you enough to be interested in what pleases you. And then, Lord, please give me the strength that when I make those decisions, that they endure. So our definition here. So I'm going to play this clip here. I want to watch it twice with you. At first, you're going to listen and you're going to say, oh, that's different. But there's something about it that I like. And then the moment you start to like something, you're going to start to develop reasons that it's okay. Okay, that's human nature. Can I just tell you that? When you start liking something, the mind starts excusing it. Okay, so let's watch it and then I'll give you some things to keep an eye out for and then we'll watch it again. So. Okay, talking about Jesus lifting you up, you know, no big deal. At first you're like, oh, da 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 da, da, da. Just at that steady beat, da, da, okay? And then you're like, wait a minute, and they're saying words also. What are those words? Hey, I don't think those are bad words, you know. Of course, it's like way down the road that I even notice that there's words, but the words aren't bad. And then you go back and say, and I don't think, you know, what I was feeling was probably that bad. Oh, the whole package is, I think it's fine. And you, so quickly you would excuse that. So I want you to listen for several things. There's that, the piano is just a bum, 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 bum. And watch the man, he's kind of feeling that. You can see him kind of every beat, he's feeling that. You know, it's not, you know, just a da 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 da. He's just waiting for his time to come in. She's kind of what's called belting. And it's like a yelling. There's some yelling on pitch. Those of you that sing know about that. I sometimes teach choir, so I'll look up voice teachers sometimes and get different techniques to try to teach, different warm-ups to try to teach my choir. And this one lady's like, I teach people to sing classically. Woo! And she's singing. She goes, I also teach belting. That's in one of my other videos. And I didn't go there. But it's a yelling. It's a... You know, it's just a yelling. It's a yelling on pitch. And you get good at it with practice. And it's not a singing. There's a yelling going on and you're just yelling. Then there's a little bit of sliding going on there. There are going to be some hand waving. And then, you know, boy, the way she just kind of punches those consonants. So we'll go back and listen to it again. Just watch him. And then again, try to, again, the mind is going to say, there's something here I like. And then you start working on excusing it. And, oh, there's words. Okay? Watch it again and try to watch for some of those things. You don't have to try to cover up the floor.
you say, wait a second, he's being picky. He's breaking down. And again, you might say all those little things individually, I don't think necessarily that's awful sin. But what's going on is it makes up a package. And if you're saved, you have two fires burning within you. You have a fire. You have a new desire to please God. And you have the old desire to please flesh. And Ephesians chapter 5 talks about the works of the flesh are these. And it later on, it talks about the works of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering. And the test, I'm going to ask you to be spiritual tonight. And I don't mean that in a goofy way. I want you to ask yourself, honestly, with this, what is being stoked? Okay, those of you that like campfires, men, we men are pyromaniacs, right? We love a fire. We love to go stoke it, turn it over, do this and that, and put more wood on it. I'll have the college to my house sometimes. We'll be roasting s'mores, and the guys are looking at the unburned wood, just like, how soon can I grab some of that and put it on the fire? How big can the fire get? We have two fires. And you have to, until you die, you have to be conscious of which fire is being stoked. The fire of the flesh or the fire of the Spirit. Is this the love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness? Or all those other things, the works of the flesh there in Ephesians. I'll give you that reference after a bit. Okay, so this next one, boy, it takes it up a notch. Okay, and so this is the words are there, and you're like, oh look, words, and then they're not too bad. Again and again, it's you wouldn't care what. And again, we'll talk about that tonight.
Sing forever of your love, come down with my hands to heaven, stop your praising life.
Okay. You know, and you got those words there. And it's just your body stirred up. You're like, oh, there's also words there. And by Jove, they're not too bad. Okay. But it's like going to the flesh fire, throwing all the wood you have on it, and then saying, oh, look, there's a fire over there too. It's so cute. Okay, after throwing everything on this one. Now, this song gets stirred up even more. And I'm going to have my sound guy shut off the sound. So you're going to just watch the crowd being whooped up. You can see the words. There you go. By the way, will you agree with me? You don't even need the sound to say what you're seeing doesn't match the words. You don't even need sound. But if I put the sound on there, you might be even less convinced, because music has a way of going right past your intellect and grabbing a hold of that part of you that really likes it, and it doesn't matter. So to actually shut it off, I think you're actually thinking more clearly to say, what I'm seeing does not match those words. And I'm telling you, they stepped it up a notch by this time. The bass just got double, and the crowd was like in hysteria. Now these were not random videos either. I want to bring up a point here. I'm not asking you to not go looking for the world. I'm warning you that the world is looking for you. And you have to be on guard. Because these videos are videos that my wife just, you know, she's like, hey, let me, what's so-and-so doing that grew up here? What's so-and-so doing that grew up here? And looking at videos and finding things and saying, oh, so-and-so that grew up here was there. So-and-so that grew up here was there. These aren't random videos. And I'm not pretending that everyone at the videos, especially the first one, that things happen. I think if you go on vacation and visit a church, right, It's not like you agree with the music that's at that, that's at that church. I understand that. I've been at churches where I'm like, oh, I got here late. And I got there for the preaching. And then I was glad I got there late because the closing song service gave me an idea of what the opening song service was going to be when the trap set started going. I'm like, oh, I'm glad I didn't get here for the first part. And just because I was there doesn't mean that I agree with everything that happened there. But I'm not going to take a video of the music and then put stuff on there like, this is real worship. And I'm not saying that everyone at these places did. Things happen. I was at a Chicago Bulls game one time, and the halftime show was the Blue Man Group. So in a sense, I was at a... be careful. People take the sound clips, right? It's like, I was at a... you know. Okay. Okay, it was the halftime show. And so it was... That happens. Like Brother Mitchell was at a Blue Man Group concert, therefore he agrees with everything that happened there. But you know as well as I do, Pastor Vogelin brought it up, that this stuff is out there on social media with people that were in our circles. And some are like, well, I'm not entirely comfortable with it. And some are, I don't see anything wrong with that. And some are, that's real worship. People that used to be right here. And so I'm telling you, the world is coming after us. Okay, so in this next one, I want to just go quickly through 8 reasons why CCM music is wrong. Number one, it's worldly. It's immoral, the way the worldliness comes together. It's a making of a friendship with the world. It's a friendship with the world. And there you go. Some of you are thinking, wait a minute, is that entirely wrong? Wasn't Jesus a friend of sinners? So I don't know, making friends. A guilty. Guilty, I'm like Jesus. All right, let's take that apart for a moment. We know that James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And that idea of adulterers and adulteresses brings up the idea of there's an immorality in a friendship with God. When you made holy vows to your Lord Jesus in salvation, and then you go and make friends with the world, you're like, but wait a second, Jesus loves the world. God loves the world so much He gave His only begotten Son. Now, so I was talking again, my son and I were discussing this. But in Romans 5:10, it says, you were enemies. But the reconciliation of the blood of the Lord Jesus changed that. So the idea that Jesus was a friend of sinners, this was an accusation that people made. But He was the proper friend of sinners. He was a friend to sinners. He was their best friend. He was there. He died to give them a chance to be His true friends. And He describes what a true friend is there in John 15:14 when He says, ye are My friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you. So the thing is, aren't we supposed to make friends with the world? My question is, on whose terms? Jesus brought people to Himself on His terms. CCM is making friends with the world on the world's terms. 100%. We have to be careful with these things. The love of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That describes rock and roll and this putting lyrics with it that people pretend makes it all better. Number two, it's addictive. It's addictive. Now, I shared this story with you once before, but I remember Claire had a bag of Tootsie Rolls. And she goes, Mom, can I have some of these Tootsie Rolls? You can have 2. Put the rest in the cupboard. Don't eat any more unless you ask me. And so she puts them in the cupboard. And my wife, you know, moms have that 6th and 7th and 8th and 9th sense, right? And it's like, it's too quiet. Something's not right. So she goes down and there's Claire, you know. Mom! So my wife says, throw the rest of those Tootsie Rolls away. And check your heart right now. If you're horrified that my wife would do that, you need to get in your Bible more. Okay. but check your heart. I mean, we live in Indiana, kids first, right? I mean, that's on our license plate after all. My wife said, you disobeyed, throw those away. And I just remember the look my daughter gave her. It was murderous. And right then, there was nothing more important than those Tootsie Rolls. I got the same look from when... So we have a Monday night prison ministry. And those guys love when we come. We give them scripture. We pray with them. We preach to them. They love it when we come. And then one time we dared to talk about the contemporary Christian music. There's other churches that are coming in and doing these jam sessions with them. And they love it. And they refused to even think over the fact that that might be pleasing, that might not be pleasing to God. They looked at us like, you want to take that away from me. You're my enemy. I mean, that fast. Just like mom that got up in the night for years when Claire was sick or needing something as an infant. Suddenly she was nothing to her because she came between her and her Tootsie Rolls. I got the same look from grown men when we said, you know, you might want to consider that that's not pleasing to God. No considering. I like it and that's all that matters. All right? That's addiction. That's addiction. It owns you. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:12, I will not be brought under the power of any. All right? That addiction owned them. It's addictive. It's also ecumenical. One person said that music transcends denominations. With this sound, you forget what sets us apart from others. And what does set us apart from others? Can you answer that? Truth. But with this sound, it doesn't matter anymore. What sets us apart doesn't matter. We all want to come together. It's charismatic. All right? It energizes the emotions. It fills the flesh. I remember sitting there one time. And again, just be honest. I remember the ladies trio sang one of these old songs. And I'm just sitting there. And when they got done, I was thinking, yeah, that did nothing for me. All it did was like transport me to the throne of God and leave me in awe of Him. But, you know, it did nothing for my body. And I'm like, wait a second. Oh, wow. I was just amazed at God, but that didn't really interest me. By the way, the Bible talks about coming to church with the right heart. Because as the preaching is cast out there, it lands on different hearts. And it's our responsibility to come with the right heart. As you hear the mixed trio up here singing, and you say, boy, that didn't really interest me. It's their job to do more to interest me. You have this church thing all wrong. All right? You need to come with the right heart. And when you hear those things and the fires of the flesh are calmed and the spirit is stoked, we're not naturally interested in that, like Brother Schrock and his beats. Healthy things. It takes a little more work to acquire a taste for them. And the easy things, that they're never healthy though. This idea that we got to be careful about. Number five, they're shallow and man-centered. Again, we talked about Cain. Cain was the father of creative approaches to God. And Cain, he said, I've changed it all up. I have this new worship system. And God came and said, I am not pleased with that worship system. And Cain basically said, oh, you thought this was about you? See, man is built with a need to worship. And that satisfied Cain's need to worship. It satisfied Cain. The worship system was man-centered. And it made him feel good about worship. God was not a part of the equation. So then who was? Man. And that's what's going on with a lot of this. It's opposed to biblical preaching. As the preaching comes and Pastor Emma says, this is what God wants. We're like, yeah, I'm not super interested in what God wants. It takes away the heart. It's experience oriented. Truth is not what's important. What I feel about the truth is what's important. So again, God in Hebrews 11, God talks about in the faith chapter that God said, listen, Abel's sacrifice is acceptable to me. Yours is not. And to him, it didn't matter because he felt really good about the worship. And not everyone in CCM understands the difference, but you need to. So you're protected and you can help somebody see the difference. They feel really good about the worship and they think they're spiritual, therefore. And some of it is very sincere. But that's not right. When God is not pleased, it doesn't matter how you feel about the worship. All right, and it weakens the biblical position of a church. By the way, I added another one. You know, I'm scribbling all sorts of stuff on here, and I don't feel like I'm going to get through my lesson. But it's also attractive to the lost on purpose for marketing purposes. It's built for the lost for marketing purposes to feel good about the worship. It's not. Christ-honoring churches that are churning this stuff out. Hosea 4:11 says, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. There are things we can pour into our bodies that take away our heart. We can pour them in here. We know, men, we can pour things in here that take away the heart for things that are right. And it's no different here. We can pour things in here that take away the heart. There's a battle raging. Brother Santucci the other night for the New Year's, he was preaching. He talked about David and boy, relaxation and all these things. He had no heart for the battle. Something took away his heart. And in that condition, sin interested him enough to murder a man to get his wife. All right. So we need to identify those things that we're pouring in our different gates that are taking away our heart for the battle at hand. What are we pouring in here? What are we pouring in here? What are we pouring in here? Okay. So now, when I travel with the ensemble, I'll say, hey, let me tell you about Fairhaven. And I'll tell them about our music. One thing that I like to say, which I hope gets people thinking, is we are very careful to make sure our sound is honoring to the Lord. You know, the world never comes knocking at our door to borrow our sound to go with their words. Ever. It's confusing to me because a lot of churches are knocking at the doors of the rock concerts to borrow their sound to go with our words. It's like they're more honest and more sensible than we are in this regard. So I went through those things, but foundational, underlying all the things that people that say CCM is good stuff. The main argument underneath all of this is that music is amoral. And again, what they're saying is, that bottom there, supporters of CCM claim that music is neither right nor wrong. It's the lyrics that determine morality. And to me, I think that's huge. They know they cannot call their sound moral. Isn't that interesting? They know they cannot call their sound moral, but they don't want to call it immoral. So they decide, let's push this argument that sound, apart from the lyrics, is amoral. And boy, it's like if I have a cup half full of poison and I have a glass of really, really pure water and I pour it and I fill up the glass the rest of the way. And you say, this is bad for you. Oh, no, I put really pure water in there. Yeah, but the first part was poison. But the water I added was really, really pure.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter how pure it was. It became impure when it mixed with the poison. It was,
are you not hearing me? Really pure. Really pure, the water. That. All right, now let's examine this for just a moment. Are there any times in the Bible where music without words manifested morality or immorality? And I thought of a couple of illustrations. In Daniel chapter 3, there was going to be music that was going to be played as the people fell down and worshiped an idol. And that's what Pastor Armacost started with that 2 weeks ago when he talked about the fact that Lucifer was designed to deflect all glory to God. And when he fell, he thought, I don't want that glory going to God anymore. I want it going to me. So here was immorality. Here was glory going to a counterfeit place, to this image that I believe represented Nebuchadnezzar most likely. So worship to himself. Worship definitely not aimed at God. So here was immorality that accompanied music. Now, and again, let me contrast that with 1 Samuel 16. We know in the Bible that there was an evil spirit that used to come and torment Saul. An evil spirit that tormented him. And the Bible says at the end of 1 Samuel 16 that... let me just go there. 1 Samuel 16, the Bible tells us that verse 32, it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So here we have a sound in which it was fitting for immoral actions to take place, idolatry. All right? How more immoral can you get? And here we have an evil spirit that was uncomfortable around a certain sound. Now, at prison ministry, we used to go on Wednesday nights. And we had this room, we'd have like 50-some guys in there. And the guard told us, he goes, now you know, the back half of the room, they're not here to listen to preaching. They're here to plan their next crime together. You know, and so anyway, that gets my wheels going. For a while at prison ministry, I couldn't close my eyes during prayer. You know, you're like, and Lord, you know, your back is against the solid wall. You know, but please bless this service, you know. And I remember that there was a piano in there. And I, during the prelude, as the men were coming in, I believed this. And so I had a hymnal there. And I played hymns. I played hymns about the blood of the Lord Jesus and songs that honored God. Because I believe that there's a sound that the devil's uncomfortable around. And can you honestly tell me that last clip, the devil was uncomfortable there? They started revving up the beat and the devil fled from that scene? Can you honestly tell me that? I hope there's something in you saying, I can't. They couldn't do that before the throne of God. They couldn't do that before the throne of God. I need to be more careful about this. The sound of the world, it's breaking down what's right and what's wrong in my heart. Is music amoral? The answer is absolutely not. It's moral or immoral. We see that. And I have several more slides. And so I am not going to finish. Maybe at some point I can do some more of these things. But in Ephesians chapter 5, let me jump ahead. In Ephesians chapter 5, we see 10 things that just kind of describe the spiritual song in Ephesians chapter 5. So let me go there real quick. Ephesians chapter 5.
And it talks there in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Okay, so number one, and by the way, let me just tell you, I'm not going to give you a list of all the music not to listen to. Because tomorrow somebody's going to come out with a new song and it's not on the list. In this battle, you need to live principally based so that you can make the decision for yourself. And here are some principles I just want to leave you with. And if you want, you know, a bunch of those, you know, here, David Cloud in his contemporary Christian music under the spotlight in this giant book, he's got a log of dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of contemporary Christian artists. So there's plenty of resources. But it is for the Lord. It is for the Christians and for the Lord. It says speaking to yourselves. Okay? And he's talking to church members in Ephesians, the church members at Ephesus. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. All right? Let me get back here. So a song to the Christian might be trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now you listen to that, and the message was super clear, wasn't it? There was no, hey, there's words. What are they saying? Oh, that's not bad. This is a good song. Okay? There was no way you missed that message. And that's, music is supposed to not obscure the message. Okay? I mean, that's super clear. It's for the Lord and for the Christian and for the Lord. Do we have songs in our hymn book that are for the Lord? My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. All right? That's which fire did that stoke? Which fire did that stoke? You want one of them being stoked. If the music isn't stoking either fire, you know, the music should be stoking one of the fires. That one there where the spirit is being churned up. It should be holy and sacred and spiritual. We see there in verse 18, be filled with the whole, be filled with the spirit. He's a holy spirit. Emphasizes the melody. The melody is wed to the words there in verse 19, making melody. It's Christ-centered. We mentioned that earlier. Instead of when God comes and says, that worship doesn't please me, then the worshiper is supposed to say, oh, then I will change because it's about you. John chapter 4, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Verse 21, in the context of this, it says, submitting yourselves one to another. It flows from a submissive attitude, placing the needs of others ahead of my own. Then 6, 7, and 8, it's separate from the world. And we talked about that, this idea of not making friends with the world. It's separate from the world. So in context, we can kind of back up to verses 8 through 11. And it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Okay? It creates vigilance and sobriety. Okay? Those clips there, did that encourage you to be more serious about the battle at hand? Or was that entertainment that caused you to forget about the battle at hand? And when you forget about the battle at hand, what kind of a person do you become? Like a David. It's doctrinally pure. In verse 19, again, speaking to yourselves in psalms, singing scripture and hymns, scriptural songs of praise.
that are compared to Scripture, and you find out things about God and you praise Him for those things, and spiritual songs, all right? Emanations from a spirit that's from a heart that's full and under control of the Holy Spirit. Number nine, it's understandable. Okay, in verse 17, it says we should understand what the will of the Lord is. In 1 Corinthians 14:15, the Apostle Paul said, "I will sing with the understanding also." I read about one rock group that cut up lyrics and dumped them in a top hat and reached in and just pulled out lyrics. And whatever order they pulled them out in became the words for their song. Because, I mean, again, they're like, because it's not really the words that matter. It's our sound. It's our sound. And then the last one, it's respectful of His person. It's respectful of His person. Giving thanks always in all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, you read some of these quotes by the contemporary Christian musicians, and they're like, yep, just jamming with Jesus. Just jamming with Jesus. I mean, He's the master of metal. Can I tell you that Jesus isn't their Lord? This Jesus that they're worshiping is their buddy. And it's not the Jesus of God's Word. I have a lot more that I wanted to share with you, but I feel like God allowed me to give you the main things. But could I just encourage you, let's all, myself included, get a little more serious about this area of music. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that You bless this time we had. Thank You, Lord, for allowing me to give some of these thoughts, Lord. And again, I confess, Lord, in some of these areas, I have not been as careful as I should have. And You dealt with my heart. And I pray, Lord, as a church family, we would be a little more careful, Lord, to come to church with the right heart so that the preaching, Lord, there's a receptivity that is God-honoring, Lord. And when the special music, Lord, we would be sensitive to which fire is being stoked and not be disinterested because the fires of the flesh aren't being stoked, Lord, but being appreciative because we can come and the fire of my spirit is being stirred up toward the love and the joy and the peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith against which there can't be, there is no law against those good and proper things. Lord, help us as a church. Thank You for these last three lessons that we had. And help us to be careful to worship You in spirit and in truth, making sure that we want to find out what pleases You in our worship. And we're careful to do those things. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.